Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the desert, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them he was hungry. The devil said to him, "If you're the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man does not live on bread alone." The devil led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, "I will give you all their authority and splendor, for it has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want. So if you worship me, it will all be yours." Jesus answered, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." The devil led him to Jerusalem, had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you're the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands so that they will not strike your foot against the stone." Jesus answered, "It says, do not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished all of this tempting, he left him until an opportune time. May God add many blessings to the reading of this holy word. You may be seated. Richard Hatch. Does that name ring a bell for anyone? He was the first famous reality TV star bad boy on a little show called Survivor. He was the guy who was the snake in the grass, did whatever it took, and I mean whatever it took, to win his $1 million. And for a few days, a couple of weeks afterwards, he was the flash in the pan on every news show, doing whatever he could to put himself out in front of people to get another buck here or there. How soon we forget the persons that plastered the news media and all the major outlets, here today, gone tomorrow. And it's not that our amnesia is limited to reality TV shows. We can think of all kinds of places where this person or that thing is it in the moment. How many of you can still recite all of the names of the Spice Girls? Or remember last year's Academy Award winners for Best Actor, Best Actress? Or gold medal winners from the last Summer Olympics? The bottom line is, like Jay Martell in Rolling Stone says, everything is a flash in the pan. And he says, so why not, the conventional wisdom says, why not get the most out of your flash? Richard Hatch had his moment in the sun. He milked it for all it was worth. He even appeared in one of those ubiquitous Got Milk campaigns. Nothing more pure than milk, and we've got Richard Hatch advertising it. Many of Tiger Woods' mistresses are throwing themselves at television, newspaper, and magazine reporters. They're getting the most out of their flash in the pan. So are those who stand to make a bundle off the memory and legacy of Michael Jackson, throwing together hastily made movies and all kinds of items and merchandise for persons to purchase. The market creates and wipes out fortunes in a single day. Fashions inspired by B-list celebrities are completely unpredictable. They rise and fall like the sun almost on a daily basis. And we all know that every year we absolutely have to have a new computer. So the smart money, it seems, in our society is on get it when you can, as fast as you can, as much as you can. It's what we've been taught. what we see on the television every day. We may not have appeared on reality TV shows or hung out with rock stars or fashion designers or Olympic athletes, but we understand the get-it-while-you-can mentality, don't we? If you're like most people, you work your daily work, your job, you raise kids, you take vacations now and then. Most of the time, we're steady, honest, decent folks. I believe that. I believe that humanity, by and large, is more good than evil. But we're also vulnerable. Like Jesus, this flash-in-the-pan mentality was a part of the temptation that he experienced in our gospel text today. He's coming off of 40 days in the wilderness, living in a very ascetic kind of lifestyle. 40 days of that, tired, hungry, probably physically marked, compromised. And in this scripture, you get the sense that the devil knows that. Now there again, like I've said before, I want you to be aware that don't get hung up on whether this is a historical tale or a historical account, or whether it's the fabrication of the writer of the gospel that's putting this before us. Really doesn't matter. The message is what matters in this story. And so don't worry about whether you think there's an actual devil that's running around trying to tempt Jesus here or not. Really doesn't matter. The point of the story is the way Jesus responds to the temptation in the moment. But here it is, this Satan, this devil, is there with Jesus saying to him, take what you can get. And he puts him into these vulnerable places, top of the temple, gets him where his tummy is with the bread, all of these places are very vulnerable for a human being. And with each one, Jesus retorts back using scripture, using the teachings from his faith to say, no, there's something deeper here. There's something more filling, something more rewarding, something more genuine that is offered to me than just power, prestige, and wealth. And what is interesting is that God is already working to provide Jesus with these things, just as I believe God is working to provide these things for us. That eventually they come to us if we practice our faith in the right way, if we're attentive to the Word of God and to the divine presence among us. And so we are nourished, we are fed, we are enriched, but in deeper ways than just simply the material that Satan offers here. And what Jesus knew, and what we oftentimes forget, I think, is a real simple differentiation between that material wealth and power and prestige and the deeper things that God can offer us. And that is that what God offers isn't always right now, right away, as fast and as much as we can get. Sometimes it's not yet, or not quite yet, or it's coming more slowly. It's reserved. And we don't get that. I don't think as a culture we're hardwired to think that growth, wealth, a sense of authenticity in our lives, a sense of real connection to God. I don't think in our culture we're hardwired to understand that that has to come over time, through sometimes great trial, even pain and suffering. It doesn't necessarily have to be through those things, but often is. And so the not yet part is where we get hung up. We don't get that. But Jesus did. He knew that temptation is often connected to one's impatience. That's key. Temptation is often connected to one's impatience. You want something, it might be really quite innocent in and of itself. Piece of bread, a chance to be a leader, a sign from God, but you get in trouble because you want it right now. We want it right now. And we're unwilling to wait for it or to work for it or to just simply be okay with the fact that it's not quite there yet. And so we take shortcuts. We end up getting in trouble. We rely too much on our calendars, on our own plans, our own strategies on how our life is going to be lived out. Now, please don't hear me. I said it in the children's time, and I want to say it again here. I'm not against planning ahead. I think it's a good thing to do. But when we rest the security of our whole life on that plan that we've fabricated for ourselves, it will undoubtedly at some point fall apart in a big way. It's impossible to plan for, you want to make God laugh, tell him your plans, right? And so picture this. In this want it now, get it now society as an example. You're hungry. You're craving an elegant meal. You go into the finest restaurant in Omaha. You order up a feast off of the menu, all the best things. Of course, it's enormously expensive. You shell out about $150 for it. You charge the whole thing to your Visa card. The Visa card, which is almost maxed out. And then you spend the next 10 years paying hundreds or even thousands of dollars for your $150 meal. When we take the shortcuts, when we say we want it now, we're going to get it now, it often gets us into trouble. That's kind of that surface level succumbing to the temptation where the devil in this story would say, yeah, I won, I got you. Jesus' retort each time to that is, no, there's something deeper. You're not going to get me because my tummy's empty. I know there's more to my life than the next food on my plate. But it's not that food's our only problem. There's money, there's power, there's success, there's competition between family members or persons at work, all of those things can be good or bad. They're not necessarily evil in and of themselves. All those things can be wonderful gifts, life-giving, designed to bring nourishment and opportunity and pleasure and well-being to our lives. In and of themselves, those goals are okay. It's only when we begin to gobble and grab them up and force them and rush them that problems begin to arise for us. Bread can satisfy our deepest hunger, except when God says not now to us. World-class leadership is a goal worth pursuing, but not at the expense of making a pact with Satan. Being a child of God is a cherished blessing, except when you challenge God to a fast and dirty test of divine love. Show me how much you love me, God. The devil so often takes good and graceful gifts and corrupts them, luring us into wanting them now, grabbing them forever. That's the temptations that are before us. And so does the world go the same way? There is that be a star, have it all, win the lotto, indulge yourself, get it fast now. That's what society teaches us every day in 1,000 different ways. As Christians, we don't want to have to join the rush in the season of Lent, this springtime of the soul. This is an opportunity for us to reflect, to understand that there is slow growth that comes in spiritual maturation. And so this is a time to really look at ourselves. Brenda designed for us this wonderful mirrored piece that you see hanging above you here. I think it's exquisite. But each of those is a tiny little mirror. And each one in its own way reflects a part of this room or a part of us as it gently turns and spins. And we've got a box of little mirrors somewhere. Brenda, let's go ahead and hand those out. We're providing for each person just as a way to think about this through the season of Lent. You can carry this with you, or you could leave it in the pew if you want for next week, just whatever suits your fancy. But it's just a subtle reminder of the fact that this is a time to reflect, to look at yourself, to understand your relationship to God more deeply. We all want to win that quick million from the reality TV show. Who wouldn't love to have an extra $1 million on hand? We all want the prestige. We all want to be liked and loved. Those are good things. But when we rush them and push too fast, that's the warning that comes in this piece of scripture today for us. Thank you. But those temptations go beyond just that surface level stuff. They go so much deeper. I was tempted, I'm going to make a confession right now. I was sorely tempted last night. Anybody here ever heard of an artist by the name of Bella Fleck? We went to see Bella Fleck last night at the Holland Center. He is a 2-time Grammy Award-winning banjo player. This guy can make banjo do things that you just wouldn't imagine. And I'm wondering if maybe he succumbed to Satan and made a deal with him, because it sounds too good to be true. What this guy has done has brought African musicians who play African banjos together on the stage with him, and they combine African and American, United States bluegrass music in some amazing ways. Played for 3 hours last night, and I sat there and said to myself, oh, even if I can just play the kazoo, I want to go on tour with this guy. I mean, I want to drop everything and walk away from my life. The lure of the beauty of it to me just pulled me right in. I'm not kidding. I really want to go with him. I want to get on the bus this morning and drive out of Omaha with this guy, because it was just like perfection. And I thought, what a wonderful experience to be with a musician like that and to be with these persons from other cultures and to grow together. Wouldn't that be nice? And I found myself, as the concert went on, listening less to the music and reveling more in the idea that I might ride off into the sunset with these total strangers. Then my wife said, it's time to go. She has a good way of grounding me. But that's the other part of it. As we reflect, as we look inward, as we look at what God is trying to tell us, the other aspect of that is the deepening of our relationships. It's not just about looking inward. It begins there, but it's got to turn itself back outward into community. And I think we're doing a better job of that. I'm more and more optimistic every day that as a human community, we're doing a better job of that. Case in point, this past couple of weeks, I have noticed when I'm in grocery stores, when I'm out and about, people are nicer than they used to be. They want to talk more. They want to engage you in conversations while you're standing in line. Now, granted, there's still some bad apples out there that want to cut you off in line, but by and large, I see people wanting to reach out and embrace one another in relationship more and more. I don't know if it's because of tough economic times or we're just simply making progress, but I'm encouraged by that. And that's the other piece of this that helps us stay healthy and away from the temptations that are offered here. Not only the inner reflection, but this sense of community. And so the scripture today in Lent for us, that teaching that I would say is there is that it's less of a promise of getting to heaven. It looks like that on the surface. Do these things, be a nice girl or boy, and you'll get your reward. Okay, that's fine. But this is really about losing yourself to God than it is about securing reward. It's about working to achieve the dream in the moment instead of focusing and obsessing on the future. And so where are you today? Where are you at this moment in your life? If you're not sure, if that's a question for you, carve out time this week. Reflect. Think it through for yourself. You don't have to have all the answers today, or next week, or next month, or even next year. But there are stages on the way, places where we begin again and again to know ourselves, to know God, and to know one another as we celebrate in God's Spirit. So dream in this moment. Consider who you are, whose you are. Consider your community of faith. Live your life as genuine and as whole as you can as you focus on God's will and the teachings of Jesus in your life. Amen.